Can you please be seated? We are on the record in Lakeshore County case CR-2005-2027. It's the state of Idaho versus Stephen James Sittler. Present are Mr. Thompson, who represents the state, Mr. Holman from the Department of Probation and Parole is with him. Mr. Sittler is present with his attorneys, Mr. Wollenraber and Mr. Monson. This is the time set for a review of the terms and conditions of probation. Are the council prepared to proceed?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Judge.
However, the court wishes for us to proceed. There have been new information, new developments since we last met, and I think from the state's perspective, we're looking to the court for some guidance.
Well, let's go back and recap what I have seen. So, I've read the polygraph interview transcript excerpt. I have reviewed the report from Valley Treatment Specialists to whom it may concern. To be dated 8/31/2015. I have reviewed the letter to Mr. Holman from Dr. Wirt, dated August 16, 2015. I have reviewed the authorities supplied by Mr. Wollenraber in the Wolfchild case. I have reviewed the, what I think is 2.5 hour interview recording of the 8/20/2015 Pulver polygraph. I've reviewed Mr. Holman's response to defense memorandum. I've reviewed the special progress report dated August 24, 2015. I reviewed the Pulver polygraph report dated August 22, 2015.
I'm sorry, Judge, the date and
August 22, 2015.
I'm with, thank you.
Thompson of August 19, 2015. I've reviewed the polygraph report dated 8/13/15 from Bill Crawford. Polygraph report of 07/29/15 from Bill Crawford. I reviewed the defense memorandum. Exhibit A attached to it. I've reviewed the affidavit of Mark Monson. Exhibit A attached to that. I reviewed the affidavit of Dr. Gregory Wilson. And the Valley Treatment Report dated 7/28/15. I think that gets me up to where I am, but maybe
and I believe there's also Dr. Wirtz evaluation, psychosexual evaluation that was appended to the special progress report that looks
that
to be
sorry.
Filed back in June, and that was the basis for the state's request for a status hearing.
Yes, and I have reviewed that. And I think that brings me up to where I am with the recent submissions. So, a little unfamiliar process. I'm not sure who goes first. Who would like to go first?
Yeah,
don't everybody speak at once.
It was the state's request for a status review that started this back in June. Judge, I'd be happy to at least address the what we consider to be the pressing issues at this point and see how the court wants to go from there.
You may.
Thank you, Your Honor. As the file reflects and the court just read into the record, the numerous items that have been added to this file since June of this year, the state and the Department of Correction is asking for the court's guidance on how best to deal with the supervision of the defendant given his current situation, the fact that he has fathered a child who is an infant, and then as part of the various polygraphs and evaluations that have occurred, there have been disclosures of actions that have caused great concern to the state. And we discuss those with the court. They're detailed in the various attachments the court has referred to. The current status right now is in light of the most recent disclosures from the latest polygraph, which again, Mr. Sittler was not complete, did not pass completely. He was reported to be deceptive on one still outstanding question. The department ordered Mr. Sittler out of the residence and has disqualified his wife as an approved chaperone because of what they understand to be her failure to report the facts underlying the recent disclosures that relate directly to their infant son. What the state, if nothing else coming out of today, would like to receive from the court is the court's approval that will continue while the defendant undergoes yet another polygraph, because he needs to pass a polygraph, and he hasn't done that yet, and complies with the relapse prevention and ongoing treatment recommended by Valley Treatment Specialties in their most recent memo, which was submitted to the court yesterday. That'll also afford the department and Valley Treatment Specialties to see if they can address the concerns and issues about the legal appropriateness of Mr. Sittler's wife as a chaperone. So at a minimum, the state is looking for that guidance from the court today. I recall that when we were last before Your Honor, you suggested, actually you asked, you didn't suggest, that counsel try to see if we consolidate all the historic probation conditions in this case, and we have begun that process. I sent the draft to Mr. Woolenweaver and Mr. Monson. I provided the court with the draft, copy of the draft. We really haven't had a chance to address that substantively because of the new information that keeps coming in, or that has come in, and so that's distracted us. At some point, we need to finalize that. I think Your Honor's suggestion that we have a new single document that comprehensively addresses all of the court's probation conditions and terms, given the history of this case, would be very appropriate. But again, we need Mr. Sittler to pass a polygraph. We need Mr. Sittler to get back online with his treatment and address the issues that were the subject of the recent disclosures. To some extent, the state's worst fears were appeared to be realized from some of the more recent disclosures from during the course of the polygraphs. And in the meantime, make sure that we are protecting that child and protecting the status quo. And the only way the state knows to do that is to maintain what is currently the situation that Mr. Sittler is not allowed to reside in the family home and is not allowed to have contact with the child, at least not without a third party chaperone in direct line of sight supervision that the department and the state can trust. So I think that's where we are right now.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Woolenweaver.
I paused when you asked who would like to go first because I think the burden is over there, at least according to the Ninth Circuit case that I supplied to the court. And as a footnote, normally I'd have a brief, but events have continued to roll by, changing the complexion of portions of the case about every 10 days. Let me start with the Ninth Circuit case because it points to a fundamental liberty interest that a father has with his children, or a mother would have with her children. We're talking about Stephen here. The state is ill-equipped to make a surgical operation to bring about what it says are its ends. And when I say when it says, I'm not talking about Mr. Thompson. I see Mr. Thompson as, I have the highest regard for Mr. Thompson. He's a brother of the bar, but unfortunately he represents the IDOC that works with all the ability of nuances as a tank. It is possible to achieve all of the IDOC's stated aims without trying to perform surgery with an axe, which they've done. After the Pulver polygraph, my client receives a telephone call from Ms. Behrens, who says, you're out of the residence, you may not be in your residence, and you may not see your son. I don't recall the date that occurred. It's probably 10 days ago approximately, something like that. Now, I'm not giving you any news when I say that Valley Treatment Specialties are the people who deal with this human condition. The IDOC deals with a whole array of criminal activity. The greatest competence in connection with sexual offenders is not with the IDOC. It's with Valley Treatment Specialties. And you'll note from the submission just yesterday, at least I got my copy, I think it was yesterday morning, Valley Treatment is taking a more restrictive approach in that statement than they did just, I think it was 4 weeks before or 3 weeks before. And what Valley Treatment Specialties says, the two people who have worked with Stephen for a decade, is that there should be a line of sight condition maintained, just as the court entered about 4 weeks ago. line of sight with appropriate chaperone. And then went on, and what that would do is, should allay the state's stated purpose of making sure the child is safe, because Mr. Sittler would not be alone with his child. He would always be in line of sight during whatever period of time that Valley Treatment Specialties, until they make their next recommendation and until you make a further decision, which we're not expecting Valley Treatment Specialties is going to change their stance in days or maybe even in weeks. But you can see the drastic difference between their suggestion or recommendation and the telephone call that came from this large bureaucracy. Secondly, the Valley Treatment, I think, sagely said, let's have some additional retraining for the person who was a chaperone for quite some time. She was a chaperone, let's say approximately 4 years, give or take, and was for the 4 months that the child was in the home, 4 to 5 months that the child was in the home also. Valley Treatment Specialties did not say how long or the nature and the extent of the additional training, but they, and I think it's important that they're the ones who's saying it, they think it would be appropriate. Now they didn't, I don't think they said explicitly in their letter, but I think it's implied that at some point they would recommend to the court, okay, we believe that the additional training has sensitized this person to act again as a chaperone. And as you know, it wasn't BTS that took away the chaperone label, but rather it was the IDOC. So on both of those points, the competence and the experience and the training in connection with sexual offenders is with Valley Treatment Specialties. I noticed I just saw the document today. I don't remember when it came in, but I believe that Dr. Wirt said, at least at this point, he wouldn't have any additional submission to make, and he would rely on what the treaters recommend or suggest. Now, if we had more time to prepare for this hearing, no doubt we'd get something more formal from Dr. Wirt and supply that. But as I said, and as counsel knows, and he mentioned, we've been trying to keep up with the developments as they've come along. The consolidation business we can talk about later. I don't think there's going to be any substantial difficulties. I looked at the draft, but I simply didn't have the time with the train of events that were occurring. So if the court will enter an order using the language or picking up the recommendations, those two important recommendations of Valley Treatment Services, then it seems to me the state has the protections that they're seeking, and for a temporary period, an unknown indefinite period, Mr. Sittler would be required to have a chaperone in line of sight. And we understand that phrase to mean that Mr. Sittler, when he's in the presence of the child, is in the line of sight of the chaperone, so that they're can be no question that the chaperone is seeing Mr. Sittler when the child is there. So, for example, Mrs. Sittler, not his wife, but his mother and his father are both here, and I believe Mrs. Sittler, as an example, intends to be in town for a few days. She is a chaperone approved both by Valley Treatment Specialties and by the IDOC. I mentioned as a footnote, by the way, that when you sign up as a chaperone, part of the language says this is good for 1 year. Well, the Sittlers at various times have brought to the attention of either PNP or the IDOC, a year has elapsed, and they're simply assured, look, just go ahead, where everything's fine. So if the IDOC wants these people to sign up again, we'll be happy to do that. The point I'm making is that a chaperone is ready, willing, and available these next few days, and therefore this father should be able to enjoy his, I believe the language call it, a peculiarly important fundamental right or liberty interest of being able to see his son hug his son, spend time with his son, which he has been deprived of 100% since the phone call from Mr. Holman's supervisor. I anticipate, and I don't know whether it'll be in 2 weeks or in 2 months or when it'll be, we've had, of course, communication with Dr. Greg Wilson, who has treated Stephen Sittler for at least 9 years. And in the last couple of months, those treatments have become more regular, more frequent. In fact, depending on when we close out today, both Stephen Sittler and his wife, Katie, likely will be over at Dr. Wilson's. You will recall from your work as an attorney that generally, if you have an expert witness, you try to get the relevant facts to the witness to opine upon. Now, the facts here have accumulated quite rapidly in recent weeks.
Some might say fluid.
Fluidly, yes. And so perhaps an attorney who would try to rush Dr. Wilson over here or by telephone or something to say something sensible, particularly when VTS only opined, I think, 24 hours ago, I thought would be ill-advised. But I intend at some point to come forward either with a live witness of Dr. Greg Wilson or perhaps another affidavit with his recommendations as well. My guess is that at present, his recommendations or opinions would not differ substantially from Valley Treatment Specialties' recommendations that were supplied yesterday. So the monitoring can be accomplished, the safety of the child can be accomplished, and at the same time, this significant liberty interest, this fundamental right, would not be infringed upon. Obviously, the authority that I provided to the court is a federal case, not an Idaho case, but it is a Ninth Circuit opinion, and I felt it was important in connection with what it said about findings and who had the burden and those kinds of things. But I think if we take the Valley Treatment Specialties recommendations, that should suffice temporarily.
And as I understand it, you don't object to imposition of restrictions as outlined by Valley Treatment Specialties?
I do not object to those at this time, no. I do object to the present temporary status, but I suppose I can talk informally with Mr. Thompson about that later.
I suppose. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess first for the record, the state has also read the federal case law authorities that counsel has submitted. Remarkably, the Wolfchild case has no factual similarity to the current case. Mr. Wolfchild's underlying charge was attempted sexual interaction with a 16-year-old girl, a single event. There was no indication of multiple offenses. There was no record to show that he had victims, multiple victims of various ages, including tender ages. There was no information indicating that Mr. Wolfchild had had physical contact with his own children that resulted in some degree of sexual stimulation on the part of Mr. Wolfchild. By contrast, the information this court now has before it, by virtue of the laundry list of materials, reports, interviews, including the DVD of the actual interview and polygraph most recently with Mr. Sittler, shows that's not the case here. That we have a record for this court to show that Mr. Sittler has engaged in physical contact with his child that has resulted in sexual stimulation on his part. That was disclosed to his wife but not reported to Valley Treatment Specialties. It apparently was disclosed to Dr. Wilson, although we don't know exactly what Dr. Wilson understood to have been disclosed, because if Your Honor will remember, when we were meeting last month on this, the disclosure we were dealing with at that point was merely a physical contact that resulted in a thought. We now have a disclosure
that says there was physical contact that resulted in actual sexual stimulation with his own child. That is a completely different scenario than Wolfchild, and it is a different scenario than what the court was presented with last month when the court ordered line of sight supervision. So the state would suggest that the conclusion in Wolfchild, the decision in Wolfchild, setting aside the conditions in that case, does not match the facts, and indeed, if we use the analysis the court contemplates in Wolfchild, the opposite result is the appropriate result. I've already mentioned, and I appreciate counsel's comment to the court about Valley Treatment being the experts in this. Indeed, they are the treating experts in this. They're the ones that are certified in the state of Idaho. They're the ones with the sexual treatment history with Mr. Sittler. They were compromised in their ability to provide that service because these disclosures were never shared with them by Mr. Sittler or his wife or by anybody else. As far as the line of sight supervision, we may be talking about a situation that is of no ultimate consequence anyway, because it is my understanding, based on the disclosures known to the department today, that they are revoking the chaperone status of Mr. Sittler's parents. Because, as pointed out, as disclosed in the most recent polygraph interview, there were historic events that apparently were shared with one or both of Mr. Sittler's parents. Mr. Sittler becoming sexually aroused, observing a young female on a vacation trip. None of that was reported, although the chaperone agreements require them to report that. You know, I can sympathize and appreciate the situation that Mr. Sittler's parents find themselves in, that his wife finds herself in, that their family and friends and supporters find themselves in, because everybody would love for Mr. Sittler to become a normal person. The fact of the matter is, Your Honor, he is not. He is a serial child sexual abuser, to the point where Your Honor has imposed a life sentence and required that he be under supervision for the rest of his natural life. He has multiple victims, all of them young. Some so young that they would not be in any position to protect themselves. The risk to society is substantial here. The risk to his own child, despite the best wishes and hopes of everybody in this courtroom, is substantial. The actions that he has engaged in, that he has disclosed to this point, are a compelling basis that he cannot have anything close to a normal parental relationship with this child, certainly at this point in time. I don't say that lightly. I think the majority of the people in this room have children. They know how important it is to have a relationship with their own children. Counsel, Your Honor, myself. But Mr. Sittler's situation is unique. And as we stand here today, even though this is not a child protection case by title, I think the most compelling, pressing issue is ensuring the protection of this child. The best way to handle that is to prohibit Mr. Sittler from having contact with the child, except in the direct line of sight supervision of a responsible, approved chaperone approved by the Department of Correction and Valley Treatment Specialties. At this point in time, that means Mr. Sittler would not be able to reside with his wife and child in their home. We are talking 24/7 direct line of sight supervision. It's not just hold the baby while I take a shower, hang out in the living room and watch TV. It's not, I need to get up in the middle of the night to take care of the baby. Somebody needs to be there all the time. And I suspect that's not going to be realistic, at least not at this point in time. That's the reality of where we are, Your Honor. And I'm really sorry that you're here. I truly am. But we can't change what has occurred. And what is still troublesome is Mr. Sittler has yet to successfully complete the polygraph examination, which suggests that there is something out there that has not yet been disclosed, and we don't know what that might be. Because it seems that every step we make since we started this past summer, there's been a little bit of disclosure, and then a failure, and a little bit more of disclosure, and a little bit more of a disclosure. And if Your Honor looks at where we are now with what we know, not from polygraph results, but what we know from Mr. Sittler's own disclosures, from his own lips, and where we were just a month and a half ago, they don't even compare. So, Your Honor, please, we ask that you do what is necessary to ensure appropriate protection for the child and afford everybody to try to move forward again. Get Mr. Sittler back in with his treatment. Get his family, his wife, back engaged with what they need to try to become responsible chaperones. I don't know that they can. The last thing they want is for him to get in trouble. It is the natural reaction of a wife or a parent to want to protect their child or their husband from getting in trouble. And by virtue of having to come before Your Honor into this courtroom, they know that Mr. Sittler's in trouble. Their incentive is not to report. I am not questioning that they are good people. They are good people. But they are people. They are human. And we see the reality as we stand here before you today, Judge.
Mr. Wallenheimer?
The Ninth Circuit case was brought before you not because of the underlying facts of the offense in that case, but because of the clear setting out of the procedure and the laws relating to this fundamental liberty interest. Before that case was supplied, all I had heard from the IDOC was that the child was in the same category as everybody else, and that's not true. Of course, there were indeed multiple victims. You'll recall that the last one was well before 10 years ago, and the IDOC wants to set to one side that there has been 10 years, approximately 6 months in the state system, approximately 12 months in the Latah County Jail while treatment began, and treatment thereafter until about approximately a couple of years ago when Mr. Sittler had finished all of the Valley Treatment Specialties courses with the two people who made their recommendations on August 31. But you know about those 10 years because we were all here and you entered the initial order and the initial probation. And notice the IDOC. When this man was in Cottonwood, the IDOC said, send him to prison, no probation. And it turned out they were using tests that Dr. Wilson showed had no psychometrics to back them up. And so the court allowed probation to be entered with 12 months in jail as one of the conditions. Then there was a situation with some binoculars. Nothing was viewed through the binoculars, but the binoculars were used. What was the response of the IDOC? Immediately, he needs to go back to jail. We had a hearing. At that point, Valley Treatment Services, in the person of Mr. Lindsley, said, wait a minute, we can handle this in treatment. Their reaction is always jail. Their reaction is always, no, you may not see your child. Their reaction is always black and white. It is never nuanced. So all we're bringing to your attention is that Valley Treatment Specialties, who knows about this kind of problem, has made some recommendations that Mr. Thompson concedes and knows are the best that we have in this area. when counsel says back in with treatment, at least since June, there has been lots of treatment, and so there would be no, there's not going to be any change with that. It will continue as it has begun since that time. The polygraph, I'm not so sure that 50% of the people in this room, including the lawyers, could pass a polygraph, and that's why, as you know, it's not admissible in a civil proceeding nor in a criminal trial. But the IDOC doesn't have to worry about those details, and they can hammer away at a person because he doesn't answer each question. I think there were 10 basic questions, and 9 were okay, and the 1 was not. We recognize that we have to take these, Mr. Sitter's got to take these polygraph tests, but when I see that somebody has not passed, or has passed all but one of the questions, since I have some experience in this area, I just think I probably wouldn't pass it either. The last thing I have to say is, you see what, Mr. Sitler is obviously in a serious situation, and has been. But here's how the IODC does it, IDOC does it. First they call him, and they take away all of his rights. And then they wait. They wait till the afternoon of September 1st. And they announce through a third party, the county prosecutor, that they, the IDOC, or probation and parole, are going to try to take away the chaperone rights of Mr. and Mrs. Sitler. They didn't tell Stephen that approximately 10 days ago, nor at any time in this interim, as all the filings were being done. Instead, bureaucrats sit in large offices, and they press buttons, and they push papers, and then they make a big decision, apparently. I only have it on hearsay, but he's a reliable source, that they're not going to allow these parents to be chaperones. They don't say, listen, we're going to give you 30 days, and then we're going to revisit this thing. They don't say we're going to go to Valley Treatment Services. They just make pronouncements tyrannically. The case is hard enough. So I came today, frankly, dreading it, because it's kind of changed so much in recent days, and now I find out it's changed again. I ask you to order that at least for a discrete period of time, 30, 60, 75 days, that these parents may indeed act as chaperones, because Valley Treatment Services has made no such pronouncement, and they're the ones with competence. And in any event, to recapitulate, the recommendations of Valley Treatment, the two main things that I mentioned, I think should be made the order of the court on a temporary basis.
Anything else, Mr. Thompson?
I would ask that the court remember, and I have confidence Your Honor will, that this isn't about the Department of Correction, this is about the defendant, Stephen Sitler. It's simply nothing more than a distraction to try to point blame and responsibility that the Department of Correction has somehow done something that is substantively related to the issues before Your Honor today. And I say that with Your Honor knowing that I am rarely someone who would defend the so-called tyranny of bureaucracy. If anything, I tend to rub hard against bureaucracies. The issue here, though, isn't about bureaucracy. The issue here is about protecting this child in light of the information the court now has, and making responsible decisions. And if we have to err, we need to err on the side of protecting the child, as opposed to what we acknowledge to be a parent's interest, justifiable interest in a relationship with their child. Because when the two come into conflict, which is what we have right now, the parent's interest has to yield. The child has to be foremost. That child cannot protect himself. We are the only ones who can do that.
Anything else, Mr. Wollenweber?
No, Judge.
Well, I have said on prior occasions that I view the Department of Correction and specifically the Department of Probation as my eyes and ears. And I think that is an apt description. The point I think you're making, Mr. Willenweber, is that sometimes they overreact and are overprotective. And I don't know that I can take issue with them when they take that position. To the extent that they overreact or are overprotective and that action is unreasonable, I think a disinterested magistrate such as myself stands the check on that overreaching. Let's deal with the easy questions first. I think Valley Treatment Center or Specialties says that there should be a line of sight chaperone with Mr. Sittler and his son, and I think that makes ever so much sense under the circumstances. We have a failed polygraph. We don't know if there is any fire where there is smoke, but we have some smoke, and we're trying to sort out what smoke there is and whether there is a fire. And I haven't seen the fire, but I have been apprised that there is smoke, and so I'm going to take it slowly. And I think Valley Treatment Specialties has a plan in place or a suggestion that makes sense, and that is that Mr. Sittler would need line of sight chaperoning with his interactions with his young son. I think they also suggest that let me just read what Valley Treatment says. VTS recognizes that Mrs. Sittler, and this is Mrs. Steven Sittler, has gone through the chaperone training and has had that status revoked by probation. VTS would recommend that further training be done with Mrs. Sittler to reinstate her chaperone status that would help address the unique situations that family life entail, with both an infant and the treatment issues that Mr. Sittler faces. I realize that Katie Sittler's status as a chaperone has been suspended, but I think the implication is also that it could be reinstated at some point, assuming that she goes through whatever additional training is needed to get to the status of a chaperone. I think Steven Sittler should undergo relapse prevention in the meantime. And I would like to have him undergo a polygraph and pass that polygraph. I think the fire would be put out if there were a polygraph that were undertaken and passed. I don't know if that can be accomplished. I am all too familiar with the frailties of polygraphs. I use them routinely in my drug court. And when I use them routinely, the PhD psychologists bridle at my use of them, but I use them nevertheless. They are tools. They give me information. What weight I ascribe to that information is for my purposes, but sometimes I learn things when someone undergoes a polygraph just from having undergone a polygraph. So I use them, I recognize their frailties, but I would throw in with you in acknowledging that I'm not sure everybody in this room would be successful in passing them, nor am I ready to predict that 50% of the people in this room would pass them. But they're a tool, and I use them, and I use them in these types of cases. I think there was a lot mentioned about human interaction and familial interaction. And while I agree that it would be a parent's desire and a wife's desire to not see their child or her husband. In harm's way. I think it's also human to think that that grandson and son would also be within the protective ambit of that family. And to suggest that a family will let a son commit heinous activity on another child of that family is hard for me to fathom. I think there are some protective factors at work, especially if we have a line of sight chaperone for Stephen Sittler that I think will benefit Jeconiah Sittler, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So I have also the consolidation of terms and conditions that were provided to me. I think it makes the most sense for me to modify those and submit them to council to see if there's any objection, and if there is objection, we'll have a hearing and sort those out at that time. Mr. Woolenway, are you looking as if you need to say something?
I think that Mr. Thompson and I can make your job easier, because 90% of it, 95% of it likely can be agreed to before it gets to you. I simply have not had the time to study it. I myself, about 6 weeks ago, went through the process and found the particular paragraphs that seem to have some editing that would be required, or deletions, modifications. But I wasn't able to replicate that work in the last week with the changing series of events. So if you don't mind, I suggest that Mr. Thompson and I get together, as we had planned to do 4 weeks ago, and then we indeed supply something to the court that you could respond to. It might save you a couple hours. We could have a phone conference if that would be necessary.
Mr. Thompson?
Frankly, Your Honor, as much as I enjoy talking to Mr. Woolenweber, it may be helpful to both of us, though, to have Your Honor's thoughts and guidance, because this will be Your Honor's order. I think that we sent this to you in Word format. If not, we can, so that it can be readily modified and adjusted however the court wishes. And certainly, I'm more than happy to visit with Mr. Woolenweber. I think there's very little in there that's going to be controversial, but we also want to make sure that it reflects Your Honor's current view of this case, as opposed to just merely piling together what's happened over a number of years. So I'm happy to proceed either way, but I would welcome the opportunity to see Your Honor's thoughts in a draft form if you would like to do that.
Well, as coincidence would have it, my law clerk has given me her best assessment of what has gone on in the case in the past 10 years, and I have that in front of me, and I think I could, in a relatively short period of time, get that to her, and we could send you a draft, and if there's a problem with the draft, we can discuss it, either by telephone or by hearing, and I think that's actually a little more efficient way to proceed. And so I will send you a draft of what I prepared.
Thank you, sir.
Have it out this afternoon.
And I gather that draft will indeed be a draft requesting our feedback before then it is final.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think you should look at it as an opportunity to put up or shut up.
Yes. I try to do well at that.
You have always in the past. I don't know why he wouldn't this time. So I think we have a way in which to proceed. Is there any question, or do we have any other issues that we can take up productively at this time?
I don't believe we have any questions, Judge.
Okay.
All right. Then we are in recess.
Thank you, Your Honor.